The boys are back from vacation in this one. Gonna be hard to top the Jack Campbell episode from Monday and then the Kittle episode before that. We had a couple bangers. Hopefully, we have a couple more coming. This one, no guests. We focus on March Madness, and it is mad. A few of the things that have happened. We talk about the men's and women's basketball tournament. We talk about the NCAA championships and a whole lot more. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, everybody. Episode whatever, who gives a fuck, of the Friendship Podcast, aka the Vacation Podcast, because Kluver's back from what felt like a month in Florida, and G-Bone is currently on spring break, aka vacation at his parents' house, and every day of my life's a vacation. So here we are, folks. Glad to be here. Kluver, what's
up? And you know, only in Drake fashion, only a couple pieces of misinformation there. My vacation was only a week. It was 7 days, although it did feel like a month because, quite frankly, it feels like when we do this podcast, because we do a Sunday recording and then a Tuesday recording and then Wednesday night recording, it feels like every goddamn day we're on.
It does, dude. When I don't have a podcast to record, I'm like, wait, what's going on?
Yeah, like, what do I do with my day? And then second of all, Grant's actually back from vacation at his parents' house. So Grant could come in and
G-Bone, back in Iowa City?
Yes. Back in Iowa. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Grant, good to have you back. Good to be back. Grant really ran the show while we were on this little on this vacation. In fact, y'all recorded a DHT. I haven't even listened to it yet, but I'm excited. Because the feedback I got in the Discord was that it was very nice. It was good.
You'll enjoy deep into the podcast.
Good. It brings a smile to my face because that is the first production, the first piece of content, podcast wise. Of course, the graphics over the last month or so have been coming from Grant. Great work. I mean, how good is G-Money, though? Let's take a second to hype the boy up. He's hiding over there in the studio, but we got a
shout
guy.
Shout out G-Bone.
Hey, sometimes you get a dude on your team, right?
Inshallah. Jihad.
Well, whatever that means. In fact, I think one of the Penn State wrestlers said that Muhammad was a false prophet, actually, in the post. In the post wrestling match interview yesterday. So
that's some shit I would do.
I swear to God it happened.
Oh my goodness, that's phenomenal.
G-Bone, if you can pull up Brooks from Penn State. We can talk about that. That might be more of a Dickhead Tuesday thing, but we can talk about it because that's very relevant. By the way, y'all are hearing this a little bit later in the week. We're actually recording this on Sunday the 19th. You guys are hearing it on what would be Thursday the 23rd. Yeah, the 23rd. Because the boys are now a week ahead. We're going to try and up the operation here to where me and G-Bone on the back end can actually get some pre-teaser clips out from certain podcasts. We can have a little bit more time to edit. We can make this thing a little bit more of a professional operation. Obviously, we're just giving props to G-Bone there. But yeah, that was the first piece of content for the exclusive listeners that I was not on. Drake actually said, fuck it, we'll see you next week. And then 3 minutes later, he goes, no, wait a second. Let's rip a podcast. And so the boys did an hour.
Said, let's give the people what they want.
Yeah, and sounds like you gave the people what you want. For those that have not heard it, because you usually listen to the audio version and didn't want to just take the time to watch the video because that was the only way it came out last week, as I was still involved in some of the controls there, you guys will get two DHGs this week. You'll get the Drake and Grant special, And then you'll get the one that we record on Tuesday as normal. So good for you guys. If you're interested in any of that, patreon.com/washedupwalkons. Excuse me. Help donate to the kids. Help get some discounts off your merchandise that you're inevitably going to spend in our store. And
Hoover buy diapers.
And yeah, dude, fucking help me buy diapers because the kid is still around, still a thing. And dude,
how was the kid on vacation? Because she's young to be on vacation,
dude. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's like, so at some point.
So you didn't buy a lemon.
At some point, dude, something's going to go wrong. It's either going to be like a true terrible two, or she's going to, you know, it's coming in her teenage years. Like she's just going to be an absolute handle. Like she's going to hate me.
Guaranteed.
Yeah,
that's inevitable.
Inevitably, your teenagers are probably going to hate you for some amount of time. Hopefully,
I'm 28 and I hate you, and I know you for much longer than she has.
Well, I'm also not your dad, your parent. So hopefully, there's a little bit of a different relationship there. But yeah, man, she's 3 months old. She turned 3 months old on the vacation. Plain, no big deal. Different, you know, we're staying in an Airbnb. Different. Place to sleep, different, you know, 70 some degrees. She only knows 30 degrees. She's born December 16th. So, I mean, we took her to the beach.
I think she's going to be tough, dude. All she knows in the cold, out born in the dark, molded by it. There's something to be said about being born in the winter.
I have seen,
Josie Jewell's a Christmas baby. The outlaw?
Tough motherfucker.
Tough
motherfucker. Josie's been sending some bangers in the Instagram chat, by the way. What a guy. Kevin, obviously not here tonight, by the way, if you guys haven't figured that out 7 minutes in. Guy got called into work. And that's one thing that Drake and I don't have to fucking deal with.
I had to deal with 11 by 6 minutes in the gi today. So competition rounds.
11 by six.
Yep.
It's not good.
It's tough.
I had to deal with 11 for 11, though. I actually finished up the fifth and final workout of the CrossFit quarterfinals this morning.
How'd you go?
I got bent. Bad. I'm not going to go into it cause no one gives a fuck, but,
it went bad.
I wouldn't suggest trying to compete in fitness competitions while you're on vacation at different gyms and then also while traveling on planes and car rides and stuff like that. That's just, that doesn't go well. My body basically, it basically gave out today. It said, hey, buddy, you need to stop. So the fifth and final workout went bad. The first four workouts went good. I was in 132nd place in the entire Northwest America division going into today. And I'm not anymore after that. So, but quarterfinals went well. Baby is perfect, and Kevin's not here on the podcast. So that's basically where we're at. We're 8.5 minutes in. Grant, I want to pull you in for a quick second here, and then we're going to share this Brooks video that you found in the side. How was your time home?
Oh, it was awesome. Thank you for asking. Yeah, enjoyed spring break. Great seeing the family. Enjoyed a little seeing some friends. I did shout him out on DHT, but I don't know if this fan can listen to DHT, so I'm going to say it again here. But shout out Tom Painter up in Anchorage, Alaska. Walk-ons fan. Got me a handwritten card. I think I'm frozen now.
You're good.
No, we hear you.
Okay. I thought I was frozen. But yeah, shout out Tom Painter. Graduated from Air Force Academy in 98. Got me a handwritten letter. Very nice for my birthday. And then he sent a flag to the Air Force lacrosse game to one of the, like, he's like the team surgeon. And the team surgeon gave it to me to sign and then also the card. So, and then the flag's going back to him. But yeah, shout out Tom Painter. You're the man.
Jesus Christ. Grant said he wasn't. Grant's trying to say he wasn't famous.
Famous,
still not. But I had to give him credit. It was really cool. So.
And you went to the that spring game.
Yeah, no, it was lacrosse is always at the spring. But
for some reason I thought that was a football game. You went to, it was just a normal game. Who'd they play?
Bryant.
And did they kick their ass?
They actually did kick some ass. So okay. shout out the Air Force Falcons. But this is an Iowa podcast. We don't have to talk too much about
it. Oh, no, this is an all sports podcast.
Okay.
We're going to get to some more sports here in a second. Any other highlights of your vacation or your time back home?
Oh, jeez. I mean, I saw some fam. I've spent the past 4 days just watching basketball for 12 hours a day. So, like, I barely left my house at all.
And you're a big sports guy, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
You're just a general, like, you're the kind of guy who I feel like wakes up, and it's like Christmas Day for 4 days in a row this
week. It is. It's like Christmas morning. Like, I didn't want to do anything else. Like, my mom would come down, like, oh, you want to go do this? I was like, yeah, but I mean, I don't know. FAU's playing Memphis here in a little bit. I kind of want to. So,
Fairleigh Dickinson's about to beat Purdue, mom.
Yeah, no, we couldn't leave. We had the whole family.
My homie put 25 on that.
No.
Straight up.
Money line?
Cash for 650.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. I think I saw, like, Dave Portnoy had, like, $4,000 on Fairleigh Dickinson.
He did. Yeah. He did. It was either them or FAU.
Plus 2,500?
I think it was, like, like, whatever the money line was.
Dude. Dude.
I mean, he is, like, all the money in the world to throw
around. Wait a minute.
I don't know if it was on Fairleigh Dickinson or if it was on another. Was it on Florida Atlantic?
He had, like, I know he had it on Fairleigh Dickinson. He might have had it on FAU too, but okay. I've seen the ticket for Fairleigh Dickinson.
Let's talk quickly about this. So obviously, as I said, this podcast is coming out actually a week after the tournament starts, right? So it's Thursday when you're listening to this. So yeah, the round
Sweet 16 starts.
So the Sweet 16 is kicking off as you listen to this. But we obviously have to talk about this weekend that is just coming to a close here on Sunday.
Iowa getting shit on weekend.
Tough weekend for the state.
Tough weekend for the state.
Now, back it up even further. Great stuff, right? Iowa State, Drake, Iowa, all three schools get both teams, men and women, into the tournament. Awesome. Good shit. You and I pick it up a little bit, but hey, you know, we got the other three in there. Not a great outing in the first round for the old.
It's the Iowa way. Iowa postseason way.
Not great. It got kicked off with, who'd have gone first? Was it the Iowa men? I think it might have been. Well, the Iowa men, and I watched this at a restaurant called The Reef, not The Reefer, Drake, or The Reef, in St. Pete, Florida. And Auburn is just so much more athletic than us. Not surprising. We didn't shoot great. We don't play great defense, and we lost the game.
And
I mean,
we didn't close the game well at all.
No, and it was an 8-9 it's not like we were favored or this was some game that we were supposed to win going away. But boy, would you – I think at times there was parts of this season for those that really follow Iowa basketball closely where it was like, this is a team that's a 5-6-7 seed and can certainly get a win, maybe potentially get two wins in the tournament. And didn't happen. Didn't happen. It wasn't going to happen because they're definitely probably not going to beat Houston. So bad draw. And even with the draw, we still come away with a loss. Not great. Not great. Iowa State men put, and this is not a shit on Iowa State podcast, although sometimes it has been in the past, but Iowa State men did something almost impossible. They scored, I think, their lowest amount of points all season in their tournament game. They finished Grant, you could probably pull up the little quick widget of Iowa State's, you know, stats from this year. I would be surprised if there was a game this year that they scored less. I'm pretty sure they finished the game the other day. They played Pitt, and Pitt's got like two Spanish kids that are 6'11" that both look 11 years old. I mean, just, and Iowa State couldn't hit a shot. They started the game. They didn't make a basket. I highly doubt you watched the game, Drake.
No.
They didn't make a basket in the first 10 minutes of the game. And
wait,
that's not
0 points in 10 minutes.
They had two free throws. It was 21-2, 10 minutes into the game. Yeah, that's real. They bring it back a little bit. They go on a little run at the end of the half. They get it manageably close. They start the second half and do it again. They go 0 for, I think at one point in the second half, they were 2 of 24 from the floor. They finished the game with 41 points and got beat by 15 or 20. It was unimaginably bad. What do we got here, Grant? We got is this?
Their average is 67.5 points per game.
Jesus, and they scored 41. Wow. Not good. Who else do we have? Drake Men. Man, they lost a close one. Drake Men lost a close one to, who'd they play? Miami? Am I correct? And they were up late in the game, and they kind of shit the bed. Drake Women, I think, lost somewhat handily. And then Iowa State Women get upset by Toledo. I mean, what's going on? Now, luckily, Southeastern Louisiana talked shit about Caitlin Clark and said that that Caitlin and the Iowa Hawkeyes had never seen anything like them defensively. And then they went on to get beat by 50 by Caitlin and Monica and Warnock and Gabby Marshall.
50?
It might have been more than that. I think the final score was. Yeah, the ladies absolutely torched this team. And after the game, the coach was just like, yeah, I'm going to be honest. We've never seen anything like that. It was fucking funny. Now, that being said, on the other side of that matchup, Georgia-Florida State, the 7-10 game to play Iowa, Georgia gets the win there. And then Georgia just tested the Iowa women's team tight all the way to the end of the game. What was that final score there? Grant's got it in the background here. What was it, 90? Where are you going now, Grant? He's not even listening to me. He's just over on the side just fucking doing his own thing. Oh, yeah. No, I know. 74-66 today. What was the Southeastern Louisiana score? They beat him by 52 or something. I don't know. It was 93-43. 95-43. There we go. And this team, Drake, they were like the. Oh, my watch is talking. The coach interviewed before the game, like before they traveled to Iowa City. The coach was like, we've got so-and-so, and she's one of the best defenders in the country. Like Caitlin Clark, she's going to give Caitlin Clark problems.
Looks like she had problems.
Yeah.
95 somebody, of them bangs.
Somebody had problems. Unreal. Iowa moves on today. As we just said, they beat Georgia. Close game without Stolke. Was hurt. Molly Davis got hurt early in the game. So those are two of our rotational players. And Caitlin didn't have the best day shooting. Still finished with a double-double, like 24 and 12 or something. Stupid. And
that's an off day for her.
Dude, it's crazy. 24 and 12, okay day.
She's otherworldly. It's phenomenal.
Sometimes when she pulls from the logo and it clicks the net, you can hear it on the broadcast, and it's just like, it's like one of those sounds that would show up on a most saddest, like, you know, like a
yeah, I get what you're saying,
like an ASMR video or something. It's like, and it just like, oh my god, it feels so good when she makes a shot. But missed a lot of shots today. We turned the ball over a lot, and Georgia was supposedly known for their defense. So we'll be moving on to probably take on Duke, which could be
pretty sweet.
A damn good game. I believe that's a two verse.
That's got to be the first time Iowa has ever played Duke.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet to Go. At Gray's Gourmet to Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. Chicken lips are the most beloved food in Iowa City. And if you don't know what a chicken lip is, you're really missing out. Our second passion is pizza. We're hell-bent on making great pizza. Yeah, you can get cheap pizza anywhere. But if you're a real pizza aficionado, you gotta try our meatball pizza. It's made with a natural starter. And like sourdough bread, it's soft and crispy and light as air. And the third thing that we're wildly and passionately in love with is great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet to Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
Women? Probably.
No, just period.
No, Iowa, the men played them in the ACC Challenge a couple years ago, I think.
We played them this year.
Was it
Duke?
We didn't win.
Shows how much I know about basketball.
Yeah, you and I don't watch a lot of basketball, but I know they have matched up with some of those teams in the ACC Challenge, which I think is actually no longer a thing. But so Duke in the – I think that's a 2-3 game, assuming that Duke wins. In the Sweet 16, Iowa women saving the state. And here we are. We're halfway through – you know, we're almost halfway through the tournament. There's going to be 16 teams left. The women Hawks are going to be one of them. And if we can get Duke, it's Elite Eight. It's just like picking them off one by one. It's so fucking cool if we could get to the Final Four and the Hawks could be a part of that.
I'll tell you what, dude. If the Hawks make the Elite Eight, I'll start watching.
Dude, I'll start paying attention, man. If you can get to the top eight teams, man, I'll tell you what.
I'll watch.
Well, and you know what? That's a compliment. Most people might think that that's funny, and I think it's funny. But if you can get Drake's attention, that is within his own ecosystem. That's valuable currency for him. So, yeah, I mean, I would love for you to watch an entire women's basketball game. No, I'm not going to act like I've watched all of their games either, but I've definitely watched more than you have.
My homie Kovac was in the stands tonight.
Packed house. Packed house.
Dude, the girls are putting 16,000 asses in seats in Carver,
in the seats.
They are a cash cow, dog. It used to be football, men's basketball, wrestling, and everybody else was an absolute money pit, just draining the athletic department's money, all the money that we raised. Women's basketball is saying, hold my shit. We're going to put 16,000 of them in this motherfucker and light it up.
Not only that. Oh, and they were lighting it up. Dude, Gabby Marshall is a sniper, bro.
Dude, I can't wait. Make the Elite Eight. I'm going to watch.
Okay, well,
because it'll be on, like on ESPN or something, right?
Well, I think the Iowa-Duke game, assuming Duke wins this. Can you bring up the bracket, Grant?
When's it going to be?
Let's see. It looks like so Colorado Duke's about to play
24th, and it's the 19th, bro. I will have forgotten that.
That's Friday, dude. We're gonna do a podcast and probably talk about it again. So, so we got Colorado Duke, which happens at the time of this recording tomorrow, Monday night at 8 Central. Assuming Duke wins that, Iowa would play Duke at a to be announced time on the 24th, this upcoming Friday, a day after this comes out when you're listening to it. So hopefully that's the case, and hopefully we can
get
Drake's
the number one seed on our team, or our side. Is it Carolina?
Stanford? Scroll up. Is that right? Stanford. We can beat them.
Yeah.
We can beat them.
I thought there was a team that was dumb good this year.
There is. And fortunately, we are not in – we would
– It's Virginia Tech?
No, it's South Carolina. And unfortunately, we'd have to go through them, it looks like, in the Final Four.
That's what I meant. We're on their side.
So that's tough. You know, we'd probably want to match up. We certainly would want to match up with Indiana or Virginia Tech, assuming that all the one seeds were going to be there. South Carolina's damn good. They haven't lost all year. They're the only team that hasn't lost all year. And we'll just cross that road when we get there. You know?
And Caitlin's going to shoot them out of the fucking arena.
They can be beat. In fact,
dude, if you can shoot from the logo, Steph Curry's proved if you can shoot from the logo, your team can win any game.
There's an unfortunate happenstance this past weekend that proves that anyone can get beat. And I had a couple
of segue.
So shout out to the ladies because we're about to shift conversation. I thought it was April Fool's. I thought that it was, you know, we were 2 weeks down the road. It was April 1st, and someone was playing jokes. But I all of a sudden, you know, I'm not watching the national championships. Maybe you were watching that, Drake. Maybe you were interested in that.
I was very interested. I just wasn't watching because I wasn't home.
Okay. I see a tweet that says major upset alert, defending national champion or three-time national champion Spencer Lee gets pinned. And I thought, well, that's not real, but it was real. Can I get some answers here? Is he hurt?
I think he's hurt. I would assume he's hurt because the match was 7-7.
Yeah.
Going into that pivotal moment.
Yep.
And I have to assume he's not wrestling 100%. I know a lot of those guys are hurt going through the tournament. Like the tournament is one, like the NCAA tournament is so unbelievably hard. It's probably second to like the Olympics for wrestling. I may be sticking my foot in my mouth there, but it's legitimately extremely difficult to make it through. So in the semis, they're all wrestling hurt, but I don't know. I'm surprised, but Ramos almost did it to him, or he maybe even beat him their first match of the year. I'm not sure.
No, he didn't. I don't think Spencer beat him. Lost this year. He okay, had like
then
a
it
50
was close. Five.
Okay, so this kid's good. This kid's good.
Yeah, he almost beat him to open the year. And hey, he hit a phenomenal move. I think he caught Spencer by surprise. Man. That guillotine grip is hard to break, man.
He got him in a position where.
So he was in a front headlock position.
Yeah.
And in jiu-jitsu, what you would do is you would slide that. If you're going for the guillotine, you would connect your hands
and just
and
tighten
sit,
that.
And sit back.
Yeah.
But if you're going for the gator roll, like he hit him with, you would slide that chin arm or that chin hand through, lock it up on the bicep, and then roll them through because you have full head control. You can't do that in wrestling. So this guy took the overhook grip that it would take, took the chin strap, and did the gator roll. And, you know, it's not something Spencer hasn't seen before. He's done it a bazillion times, but the kid caught him. I mean,
dude, and I watched
props to him. The kid caught him.
And this, can you imagine the fucking adrenaline running through that kid's veins when he realized, oh my God, I'm about to do this?
I mean, if you listen to his post-match interview, he's like, I knew I was going to do it. I believe I visualized this. I knew I was going to do it. Like he went out and did it. And it's not like he fluked them either because it was 7-7 late in the third.
I know.
It's and like at the highest level, that shit happens, dude.
I know.
Israel Adesanya, fifth round, gets caught. Kamaru Usman, fifth round, gets caught. Who was it? Chael Sonnen, fifth round, gets triangled by Anderson Silva after winning all five rounds. Like at the highest level, shit happens.
God, it's wild though when it does. He was in that position. Spencer held that shoulder up for a long time.
For a long time.
The problem is I don't know shit about wrestling, but I know enough that to expend that energy and leverage yourself to keep the shoulder up, you lock the rest of your body out from being able to work.
Spencer would have had it. It was the chin strap, the single arm guillotine. He had his neck control. So he was able to put pressure like through his neck and his forehead.
Yeah.
And you can't go anywhere without it.
That's
Spencer,
what I'm saying.
He had his hips. He was flipping his hips over to, and he had the underhook, but his neck was stuck and
stuck.
That was it.
And then once, and the only other option is, okay, if I let the shoulder down and try and get a quick, like, sneak out of here, it's just not going to happen because you're stuck and you're, it's too
your
tight.
Head's stuck. Yeah.
And the other person, because it's a weight class thing, is like, they're pretty much as strong as you. Spencer's strong. People have made sure to tell me that plenty in our antics about, you know, me standing up out of a lock from him. It's just, fuck, man.
And it was real late in the match, and it's very possible that the kid just caught the chin perfect. You know, you get a little sloppy at the end of a match. Maybe Spencer didn't have his chin tucked as tight as he should have, and the kid was able to catch it perfect. And when you catch that grip perfect, he just went with it. I don't know, but it's, you know, it was the perfect move at the perfect time.
What was your thought when you saw it?
I couldn't believe it. When I saw that he was trying to turn to that underhook and that chin strap had him stuck, I was just like, it's over. Like, as soon as, because he's on his back, he's got his left arm and he's got his left side free. Yeah. And he threw the left arm through the left hip, got his left knee over his right, and didn't move. And I was like, it's over. I mean, the kid stuck him.
So there's a lot of you listening right now. Some of you may have turned it off because you have this, like, and I am going to talk about in a second here a tweet that I made today, which is where I disconnect from sports like a lot of you do. I've talked about it before. We had the funny clip of, like, I don't watch sports. I don't like sports. So a lot of you are like, this is an emotional conversation because Spencer, especially in the Iowa wrestling community, he has been – your golden goat. He still is the golden goat. This doesn't take anything away from everything that he's done. But when you have someone who is on such a pedestal, we just talked about it, Drake, how, well, I feel bad. Did we fuck him up? I asked the other day, we posed the question, is the NCAA too boring for Spencer to wrestle? And then we fucking jinxed him. Oh my God. I can't believe it. Grant's over in the side studio like, holy shit, we did it. Grant, do you have any thoughts about that? What did you think, Grant, when you saw this whole thing?
Well, I'm a little nervous because I'm sure a lot of the fans watched, like, the University of Iowa, like, athletic department released a like little question answer video 2 weeks ago just called Goat Talk with Spencer and Caitlin. And I was nervous that with both those guys going into the postseason that it's like, I mean, we got a lot of games to play. Do we want to be crowning our guys the greatest of all time with a lot of games left? So,
right, yeah,
a little nervous. And then, yeah, I don't think
so. It was the university's fault. It wasn't our fault.
I think, yeah. Let's shed the blame on that instead. Let's do that.
We can certainly blame the university, and I've got some other things I want to blame him for too. Specifically, Dale dipping his fucking paw back into the honey pot.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did.
Dale's back.
Dude. He's fucking back, man.
Dale is back.
The licensing department just threw one of those fifth round left hooks out of nowhere.
No, at us?
And it connected and knocked us out.
No.
Yeah. Because guess what? We were trying to come out with this sick Settle for Iowa t-shirt that had all of the boys on the back who are in the league with their little color and number on from their teams. And it just said Settle for Iowa with a little football helmet. And that shirt didn't go anywhere. I sent in 4 or 5 different designs for that thing. I even cut it down to where it's like, it was just black words on a white t-shirt that said Settle for Iowa. Didn't have a football on it, didn't have black and gold on it, didn't say Iowa football, didn't say Hawkeyes, didn't have the Tiger Hawk, just 3 words, Settle for Iowa. And that fucker got turned down. So I tried. For all of you who are listening, I tried, and it was going to be a banger t-shirt. It was going to be all over Kinnick. The boys were going to do numbies. And guess what? Dale Pooh Bear, head of licensing, Mr. Dip My Paw in the Honey Pot, stuck his paw in there and scooped out all of it. We don't have any honey left.
Gargle my nuts, Dale. You're a fucking pussy. Like,
and you know what's great? Is I think that Dale enjoys being the villain of this. I think he likes it. He's listened to the podcast.
Blow me, Dale. Clip that.
There's a nice
email him that. Email him that design. Hey, Dale, blow me, pussy.
You know, I have considered, because we haven't talked about Dale or the Honey Pot in a long time, but I have considered us doing a t-shirt that is the Honey Pot from Winnie the Pooh and Pooh Bear sticking his paw down in the pot and then putting on the side of the pot washed up walk-ons, but make it like real, make it look like it's real, like it was supposed to be, like it was created and we're part of the cartoon, and then put on Pooh Bear's t-shirt, like on the left chest where the name tag would go, name it Dale. And then we come out with a t-shirt that
and
Dale
we don't
has
have to license that.
We don't have to license it at all. And it's got Dale's name on it. But it could be any
Let's
Dale.
Make damn sure that we get some Dale hate t-shirt on printers now. This fuck Dale campaign is full steam ahead.
Dude, I was seriously so hype. And the other part that sucks about this is I was planning on dropping this, and it's not a big deal because we're still, you know, just fuck, it still feels like winter a lot of the days over here. I was planning on dropping the spring.
Let's just sell it and make them stop us.
Well, and see, that's the thing. I mean, and you would think with us giving money, half the profit goes to the kids. G-Bone, it goes to the kids. The kids, man.
We can't give the money to the kids.
Can't make Dale feel good. It's thousands of dollars. Kids are cold, Dale. They want video games. They want movies. I mean, come on. Dipping his fucking paw in the honey pot. Just all we want is a little bit of honey. That's all we want. Can't have the washed up walk-ons making a dime, can we? Can't
God
have
forbid.
That.
Can't God have that. Forbid the good guys see anything.
Just trying to promote the U, a school that we paid to play at. You know, it's,
don't forget that.
It is what
we
it
paid
is.
Our dues.
It is what it is. Speaking of paying the bills, since Dale's not going to let us make any money around here, let's talk about our friends at the Washington County Pork Producers. How
Shout
about
out
that?
To the Washington County Pork Producers.
Dude, did you see the haul that Kevin had the other day?
I'm jealous. I'm so jealous.
I've got the apron hung up. As you can see, Grant's going to pop in here. He just put the hat on. Hashtag Iowa Pork. That's a hell of a hashtag now. Shout out to the pork producers. They've got they do have on the hat this nice little this clean looking pig logo. It's amazing. Looks great on Grant, although, you know, a guy like that with that hair shouldn't be wearing hats too often. But aside from their merch, let's talk about their message, right? Eat more pork. I was just down in Florida. We're at that restaurant. Pork belly mac and cheese.
Talk to me nicely.
Dude. They were known for their mac and cheese bowls. They had 7 or 8 of them, and one of them was pork belly mac and cheese. I decided against the pork belly mac and cheese. I went a different direction. I got the bacon mac and cheese. Oh, more pork. Along with an entire chicken breast on top.
You didn't get the pork belly?
No. Bacon and chicken.
Dirtbag.
Still ate pork, though. Kevin the other day, in fact, let's pull up the text message. Kevin was shocked himself. And this is a seller.
How much meat?
How much pork? Dude, the nice people over at the pork producers, they gave us these, as you can see, they gave us these $20 pork vouchers, right, for the boys to help promote the product, right? And Kevin the other day sends us a picture of, did I delete it or?
It was a massive pork tenderloin, multiple pork chops.
Yep.
A big ass thing of bacon.
Huge. And he's like, boys, I did not know
how much pork you could get for $60.
For $60. And Kevin, you know him. I mean, we've talked about Kevin and his meat, right?
That's a lot, dude.
There it is. Grant, how'd you do that so fast?
Oh, is there some ribs magic in there? What's going on? I don't know.
Yeah, so we're working with right here is he has a, what does that say? That's just a massive pork tenderloin.
That's what I thought, but it also kind of looked like ribs.
Now, on the left-hand side there, those are pork chops on the right. Yeah. Up top is bacon. I believe that's a big-ass, literal
pork roast.
Is it a pork roast or a pork?
It's a pork roast. I think it's a pork roast.
Dude, and you know what he's going to do to that thing?
He's going to smoke the shit out of it.
That Traeger is going to have its way with that thing.
Yeah.
And it's going to taste unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
So here's an idea for those listening at home. Put some pork
on
the
grill. Eat more pork.
Right? And shout out to him for sponsoring the show and helping us move this production along, because it sure ain't Dale who's helping us, right?
Nope.
Eat pork, fuck Dale. That's the t-shirt.
Pork Dale. Ha!
Pork Dale. Oh, geez. Unbelievable it was like pandemonium in the DHT, the wrestling thread. I mean, people were sad. People were sad. And it's sad when you see a goat go down, right? I remember when
it did feel bad.
I think there's a reason that the greats of every sport are either loved or hated. It's rarely that people are just lukewarm about the greats. And it's because they are polarizing. People either hate or like to hate on greatness, or they love to follow it. I am on that back end. For most of you who have been listening to the show, you know I'm more of an optimist about most things. I like to see the better side of things if I can. So when it comes to the greats, I love to see them keep winning. I love a Floyd Mayweather 40-0 record or 50-0, whatever he retired at. I love that, like, the idea.
That I think he was either 50 or 51-0 professionally.
51-0. I love the idea that someone can do it and never get beat, like that they are untouchable. And Spencer, largely to this point, was there. I think he did have a few losses.
He's had a few losses
Earlier on in his career. But man, he's been on a tear, and it was, I mean, odds for him to take the championship were just far and away. Like, it's it was him. And when you see them get knocked down, it's like, I remember when Ronda Rousey got kicked by Holly Holm.
Getting brutalized before that.
I mean, she was getting the business.
She was taking damage.
And she was going to lose that fight.
Yeah.
But then she really lost that fight. And I thought, fuck, like, Ronda was untouchable.
That's what the Leon head kick to Kamaru was for me.
Yeah. And I think emotionally, I'm not really attached to this, but it's more of just an entertainment spectator type of perspective of, like,
just disbelief.
Yeah, it's like,
that's how I felt, just complete disbelief, because I felt like Kamaru was actually Iron Man. He had just proved that he's just iron.
Yep. And then you see it and you're like, fuck, they're human. Dude,
there's,
you know what?
They're still better.
There's at some point,
and it's not that Spencer's not the best, because he is, and I think facts. I think he's gonna make the Olympic team. I think he's gonna wrestle it for the USA in 2024. I think he has a legitimate chance at winning it. He's that good. Yeah. But even the greats get beat, dude. It happens. It's the highest level of sport. That's what's so great about it, is there is parity at the highest level.
So some of the weird, maybe not weird, but ironic or coincidental deja vu here is Spencer's high school career ended on a loss
in the state championship,
going for a fourth title. His college career just ended on a loss, going for a fourth title. And if I'm not mistaken, did Dan Gable's career end with a loss after going like some insane, like he lost one match and it was like his last match or something like that? Or was that, is that
I'm not some sure, other... but then he went, that could be true. And then he went on to be unscored upon in an Olympics.
In the Olympics, which is potentially the wildest sports stat in history.
Could be the greatest sports accomplishment in history. It's got to be up there.
Dude, you don't get scored on?
Against the greatest in the world.
What do we got, Grant? Pull this in. Dude, so Dan Gable at Iowa State became an NCAA Division I national runner-up and two-time national champion. Gable's college career was 117-1, with his only loss being in the final match. Okay. So I think Gable had, you know, he was 117-0 at that point. But what does that loss do to you for the rest of your life? What does it do? I said this to Lauren the other day because this is what came to mind. People think that I, like when I talk about people or when I talk to other people about my football career, inevitably the polecat comes up, right? If it's not someone within our circle, because to them, that was the only forward facing thing that they ever saw me do. People think that I sleep poorly at night or like that I think about that play all the time. Like what could have been if I scored a touchdown? Dude, I don't give a fuck. I think about the polecat only when other people bring up the polecat. Spencer is going to think about this loss for a it might fuel him in everything he does until he dies.
Might?
Most likely will. Dude.
What is that? So it's almost a good thing. He got pinned going into Olympic trials.
Yep.
He's got 1 year to steam and to train like I want to say some really bad shit.
Bad shit.
Train like a psychopath. Train like a terrorist. Train like a god. And dude, he's going to rip the trials apart.
I was just going to say, can you imagine the next person?
He's going to hurt somebody.
I say we put him up against G-Bone.
What did he do to me?
I'll tap. I'm tapping right now before it even starts.
At this point, I no longer want to try and I want Tim to wrestle a few people before we get the Tyler Kluver stand-up exhibition event. Here's the thing. I've briefly talked to Spencer in a very short conversation on social media about coming on the podcast a while ago. And like now I'm almost hesitant to like ask him to come on. Like I'm
don't ask him right now.
Certainly not going to ask him right now. I'm going to give this a little bit of time.
Let him win the trials and then ask.
Should we wait 2 years until he's Olympic champion? I mean,
bruh, no, let him make the team and okay. Then we'll hit him up and be like, "Hey man, it's time has healed all wounds. You want to come talk about how phenomenal you are?"
And that's all we want to talk about. But hey, I kind of want to talk about the loss, though. I want to know what his mind, where he went, and he's a great, right? We want to know. Everybody wants to know how do greats deal with the hard parts, the obstacles, the
and hopefully the answer is not like his mom did.
Yeah, tough luck.
That's you embarrassing.
And I know, and you and I are on slightly.
She was an Olympic caliber athlete.
I know.
She knows exactly what it means to
I know.
Handle losses.
But
you can't. You can't do that. Even if she doesn't want to have the camera on her. Like, she was watching that sequence happen for at least 15 seconds. I don't know what the whole sequence was. That's not somebody didn't walk up to her son and shoot him in his fucking head. He didn't drop dead on the mat. He got in a bad position and got beat in an important match, and it's crushing, dude. I can totally understand if she's watching that just like upset, like freaking out, and then she sees it happen. She sits down, puts her head in her hands and cries. Like, I totally get that. Like, that's totally within the realm of reality reaction. But for a woman of her caliber, of her stature in the athletic realm, to know that she's on camera.
And but you don't know that you're on camera.
Stop it. Stop it. She's been in enough arenas and enough big matches after Spencer's matches where she and his dad are front and center. They know. They know they're on camera. She even made a comment that she didn't want to be on camera, which shows her awareness of her being on camera. That's just a look that you don't want to put on your kid. Forget her. She's probably never on social media. She'll probably never think of, like, whatever. The embarrassment that she just put on Spencer after a really tough moment, like, that's embarrassing. I would be irate. I would be fucking beside myself.
Yeah, I know. You would you would beat the shit out of your mom.
But I would yell at her. I would be so pissed.
I agree with you that it was because of what social media is today. That
and because of how iconic her son is.
I know. It turns into a bad thing. That it certainly doesn't. Spencer does. He obviously knows that that's out there.
He doesn't need the idea that him and his mom are just sore ass losers.
I know, and that's the thing, is they're not. I guarantee his mom isn't a sore but man, I think there's an element here of like, it's hard to know how you're gonna. I don't think that was planned. I don't think
it wasn't planned, but it was a 15 second sequence. She had thoughts. That time period took a long time in her mind. There was a lot of thoughts.
That's not a long time. There's not even the 50. Call it a minute of Spencer being like, "Oh shit, he might lose, dude." 3 minutes to experience like something that does not happen. Here's the thing. When you're a parent, the things that you feel and I don't have a lot of experience here, but like even in the 3 months of baby girl's life, it's like the things that you feel, it's almost like a string that you can feel attached to your kid. It's like you have this like nerve that is attached to them and you can feel their pain. It is and I think that there's just I'm okay with it. I'm not gonna say it looks good, but I'm also not gonna say that.
Gonna say it that it was a childish tantrum that shouldn't have been.
It was a little dramatic, but I'm also not gonna sit here and act like, you know, like that she's immune from that, or so somebody's immune from that, or whatever. 30 years ago, without social media, no one even knows it happened, other than the 10 people that were standing next to her in the arena. Like, it's just like. It's such a modern problem of like visibility. It sucks. It sucks.
It does suck.
Because now,
but even if there weren't cameras, is that what you want the people around you to see?
I mean, but to some extent, like, fuck the other people, right? Who gives a shit?
Your kid is an icon.
I know, but it's also not about her though, right? Like, are you really worried about like how people looking at how you react? Like, if it's about your kid, like,
no, I'm just purely thinking from Spencer's perspective. Okay. As the athlete that now, on top of how bad he feels on the loss, he now has to listen to people talk, respond to people.
I get it.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I get it. That's ass. It's
he
ass,
wants dude. To go into a dark room and train until the Olympics. He wants to turn the lights off. Nothing exists except for wrestling. But now there's just like outside noise that he just had, and like different emotions he has to deal with. I just feel bad for him.
Fuck.
Just feel bad for him, dude.
I do too. Man, I think the biggest hurt and loss for us was clearly that Big Ten championship in 2015. And it's
nothing compared to what he just went through.
Not even
nothing.
Close. Because it's in a solo sport, it's all on you. Like
it was similarly shocking from like a
sure.
just an absolute end at the end perspective.
Sure. But personally, on a team, you can share some of the, mm-hmm. but man, I mean, wild. The goal is still to someday bring him on the show. I think he would be an unbelievable guest. I think you guys would obviously love to hear from him. I think we could have an incredible conversation, and hopefully we can get him at a time where he feels comfortable sort of processing those emotions and thoughts on a introspective level that can be productive and sort of insightful.
I also want him to be moved on from it.
Absolutely. I want him to, I want him to have other goals and other, you know, cause it's not going to be,
to make the kid feel bad, dude. We're trying to talk to an absolute legend.
Yeah. I just want to talk the mind of a one of one, right?
Literally. Yeah. Like a once in a generation. I mean, him and Yanni are like the two generational guys.
Yeah.
And they're both wrestling at the same time. Bo Nickel. I mean, you talk about multiple time Hodge winners. It's Spencer. It's Bo Nickel.
Gable.
I mean, like generational icons.
Yeah. Wild shit. Was there anything else? Grant, you got something else pulled up there? Or is there anything else that happened this weekend? I know. So obviously all those Iowa teams are done. So the only one still continuing here is the Iowa men or the Iowa women. And we talked about that a little bit. I think that was it. I think I quick baseball stat. Brody Breck's curveball is 89 miles an hour. Saw that on Twitter.
He's got the best curveball of all pitchers in Division I.
Everybody.
So he's got the best. He's got like one of the top two or three fastballs and the best breaking ball.
Guy needs to quit football yesterday.
Last year. What is he doing?
Yeah, in high school. Anything else, Grant? Anything else exciting from vacation? We're going to talk DHT kind of stuff when we get there on Tuesday, but
You'll appreciate this. Just I want to shout out Fairleigh Dickinson for being the shortest team in Division I and beating the tallest team. So for us short guys, that was pretty huge.
That's big.
Great stat.
That was big. That was big for us.
Hey, how about Arizona getting beat? How about some of these upsets are crazy? I know there was one more question, Grant. You can come back in on this because I want both your opinions. So UMBC finally does it, right? A couple years ago, they take down 16-1, first time in history. Now
the floodgates break.
The next year, it almost happened again. And now it did happen again. Is this like the Roger Bannister 4-minute mile, where once someone proves it can be done, now other people literally ride off of that belief.
Off of that belief, yeah.
Yeah. No, 100%.
It's crazy. The tournament just got what UMBC a couple years ago did for the future of March Madness. It made it even more mad.
This one's way crazier than UMBC beating Virginia. This one's way more improbable. Like Fairleigh Dickinson didn't even win their conference. They got in out of a technicality because Merrimack was coming up from Division II. Like, they didn't even win their conference.
Merrimack won the conference.
Yeah, Merrimack.
Who was a Division II team last year.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, I think – I don't know. They might have – was it two? Yeah, they're in the process of transitioning. So they lost, right? I was watching the NEC championship here. They lost. And then it was, like, actually – like, Merrimack celebrating. It's at their home court. And then Fairleigh Dickinson's actually going to the tournament. And then now they're beating Purdue. So Merrimack must be like, we would have beat Purdue by 40.
Easy dub. Yeah. Easy dub.
I would be a little upset if I was Merrimack, though, for sure.
Yo, 100%. Also, there's been some other obviously great upsets, but Princeton is in the Sweet 16.
Crazy. I don't know if we can let, like, if you're Arizona – think about this. Like, your thing is we have good basketball and we're the party school. Academics, not super there. If you start letting the Ivies, the good academic schools, get in on your territory here. Like, Princeton's a few parties away from jumping your game.
That's a couple keggers away.
Yeah.
From
you like, especially if you're Arizona, and this is, you got two big things going for you. You cannot let Princeton, the smart schools, get it on your territory.
Because they're that, yeah, because that, fuck, what's it called? The rate of which the Arizona lets in students, their, what's it called? The fucking
acceptance rate.
Their acceptance rate is going to start going.
You just flip the words.
You're right. I'm a dumb. We're an hour into this podcast and I'm melting because spring break is over.
If you lived in Tucson, you would understand. That place stinks. It's a brutal place.
And technically, Arizona State is like the party school between the two of them, right?
Well, they're both one and two. I think it's a flip of a coin. Everybody goes there to get 25-cent newspaper as a diploma and fucking drink more booze than they should.
Major in STDs?
Yeah.
That's a good one. Always a good one. Well, good to see you boys again. Glad we're back on the mic. Excited to keep the content rolling here. And hope you guys enjoyed Captain Jack Campbell on Monday. What a treat that podcast was. Can't wait.
Absolute
for you guys.
Treat. I think the guys in the Discord, guys and gals, were pretty hyped about that one.
Already creaming over Captain Jack Campbell.
He said don't call him that, by the way.
Yeah, he did say I feel like that was just in conversation. I feel like when he's not here, that's the respect that he deserves. Trying to get a few more guys on like that soon. So we'll continue to pump these out. Otherwise, episode 405 of the podcast. Thanks for checking in. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.
Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.